can end. Say it again, say it.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel the fire?
Turn to your neighbor, say it again, say it.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel the fire?
Oh, say, can you feel it?
Can you feel it?
I feel it. You feel it?
Can you feel
now say, do you want it?
Do you want it?
Do you want it? Do you
worship the Father shall worship. It's time to worship. It's Friday night at Revival Conference, and we've come to worship the Lord. The hour has come, and now is to worship. So from left to right, from front to back, let's lift our hands, let's lift our voices, let's worship God, for the hour has come. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow a river of living water. If you believe that this is Revival Conference, then open up your mouth, open up your heart, and let revival flow out of you. They that worship the Father must worship Him, or shall worship Him, in spirit. Does anybody feel the Spirit around here? Do you feel the Spirit of the Holy Ghost? But He said we'll worship in spirit and in truth. We have an Alabama preacher coming to preach the Word. He was born not too far from here in Anniston. California has shanghaied him, but we brought him home. Come and preach, preacher, preach.
Praise the Lord, everyone. How many are ready for what the Lord really wants to do? What a wonderful pleasure it's been to be here, share the pulpit with Brother Booker, Bishop Wilson. Thank you to the sponsor steering committee. It's good to be here with our district superintendent, Brother Lewis, and his precious wife, and thank them for their kindness. And thank this conference for allowing us to be here, and we do really appreciate it. Tonight in the book of Luke, and I am cosmic that there's another preacher after me. Luke 18 and 1 simply states, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Again, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. And I want to talk to you simply on the subject, the altars of fire. the altar of fire. How many's going to help me preach just for a little bit? The altar of fire. You may be seated. While in the prayer room at home, it dawned on me that many of the people that have been saved over the last 10, 15 years in our church, me just getting there, being the new kid on the block again, had not experienced God in some of the ways we did in what we call the old church on 2nd and R, where there was always a distinct, not just presence of God, but a manifestation of the Holy Ghost was relatively there. And I can remember being in those old-fashioned services where the accommodations were not as comfortable, but God was, yea, at least in my mind in those days, more evident. Vividly in my mind, I can remember some of the ladies coming out of the prayer rooms with their face aglow. See, that has been lost in most places. That's a general statement. I'm not making that specific to here. But it has been a long time since I've actually saw someone come out of a prayer room with their face lit. As I began to think about that and I began to pray about that unto the Lord, I says, God, there are people here that have never seen you. And I said, if we're going to have revival, I need people that have seen you like I've seen you. I really do. And I said, it does me good to tell them, but it does them no good until they see you for themselves. I've been in several services very, very memorable in my mind of seeing the blue smoky haze of the Holy Ghost. You see, all the older guys are going, yeah, man, but all the younger people are going like, no, it's not the smoke machines. That's a substitute. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying you need those when you don't pay the price to get that. I have been in those services where you could not stand, your knees automatically buckled. Your hands automatically went up. Your mouth without command began to open. And tears began to flow. And the presence of the Lord was so thick, as we proverbially used to say, you could cut it with a knife. I long for that. Tonight, I hunger for that. Why? Because in that setting, God operates on us. In that setting, God begins to remove things out of our lives that don't need to be there, because what is happening is the fire. Oh, God, have mercy. The fire from the altars of God, and the coals are heating. And then we begin to understand our God is a consuming. He is a consuming fire. And it's the fire that refines and it purifies. And as I was praying and I asked him, God said, well, what do you want? And I just said, the blue smoke. He says, well, haze is the residue of smoke. I said, well, then, smoke. He says, smoke is the residue of fire. Why do we God help me, priest. Why do we settle for haze? And why do we settle for smoke? when our God is a consuming fire. I don't know about you, but I want God to take some spiritual kerosene, pour it all over me, strike a match, and set me on. John said, I do indeed baptize you with water, but there cometh one after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and we've been singing about it, but do you really want it? We've been shouting about it, but do you really want not the fire, but his fire? Something happens when the fire of God falls. And it seems to be related to an altar experience. Abraham is desperately trying to become the father of many nations in his own strength, unfortunately for Abram. But it wasn't until he built the altar and cut up all the animals that God told him to cut them up and put them in parts and leave the birds whole. And then he lit the altar. And as he was fighting off the birds and falling asleep, all of a sudden a flame came up from the altar. And the voice of the Lord came out of the flame. Oh God, I can tell I'm way out there for some of y'all, because you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? The reason I'm preaching this is because I don't want it to be us. Well, the Bible said there arose a generation that knew not God. Oh, they knew his name, but they didn't know him. They didn't know his works. They didn't know his manifestation. They didn't know his... Oh, come on and help me preach. All they knew was his name. But there was another generation that knew his fire, because they saw it every day. And they saw it every... So when the generation of Joshua passed away, that was the generation of fire. I refuse to let my pastor's generation be the generation of fire. Somebody pass the torch to me. Because if they burn, we ought to burn. I wish I had some help. We're not going to have revival any other way. There's not going to be any bootleg revival. There's not going to be any clearance sale revivals. There's not going to be, oh, y'all going to help me, but it's all right. There is no outlet center for revival. It is full price or you don't buy it. God never goes on sale. He is always full retail value. There is no off anointing. There is no clearance sale for holiness. The cross is not a discounted item. It's full retail value, or you don't get what it has. We need a generation of young people that's not afraid to catch on fire until they are consumed with the power of God. We need parents who want to catch on fire until they're consumed with the power. We need preachers that will... Somebody light me up.
We need fire on the platform. We need fire in the pew. We need fire in the choir. God have mercy. Brother Booker, when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, it was a bunch of Jews. Notice now. They knew God. Their mindset was God. And the Bible said they were sitting there, rocking back and forth, waiting on the promise of the Father. Watch now. Because they were sitting, the Bible said, and then cloven tongues of fire did what? Sat. They were sitting, so he sat. But when it came to the Gentiles, they weren't sinning. But the book of the language changes. It said, and the Holy Ghost fell. God understood something about the way you think and the way I think, that we didn't need some little pretty set down experience. We need the Holy Ghost to all together fall on me. Until you knock the pride, fall on me. Until you put my marriage back together, fall on me. And fell on them. Knocked them down. Fell on them. Until nothing was left in them. Fell on them. We need the Holy Ghost. It's time out for this pretty Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost to fall. Like fire. Fall, 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 fall. Fall like fire until it burns up every impurity, until it burns up. Oh, I feel my black spirit coming on. Fire. Fall down, fall on me, say yeah, say yeah. Ah. I'm tired of the way I am. I'm tired of struggling with my flesh. I'm tired. Holy Ghost, quit praying with me. Holy Ghost, fall. Strip me down. Put Holy Ghost, fall on me. Strip me. Pull me. Yank me. Touch me. Do you really want it? You're too cute. Don't mess with my curls. But God, mess my hair up. Mess my suit up. Mess my tie up. Whatever you do, but fall. Turn to somebody. Say, fall on me. Fall on me. Holy Ghost fire. Fall. No, you got to do it like me, honey. Fall. Fall now. Fall now. Fall now. Ah. Light me up. Smoke me. Touch me. Change me. But I want to be on fire. It's time our prayer rooms catch on fire. It is time our altars catch on fire. It is time our youth group catch on fire.
set you on fire. Fire on the left hand. Fire on the right hand. Fire in the pew. Fire everywhere.
He cut out of both sides. Fire. Jeremiah said, I got tired of it. I got tired of preaching and nobody listening. I got tired of prophesying and not seeing it come to pass. I got tired of dealing with rebellious people. And I made up my mind, I will not speak your word again. He said, but it was like a fire shut up in my bones. Well, anybody bones on fire? I said, anybody bones on fire? It already burned up my flesh. Now it's burning down in my marrow, burning down in my bones, right in the core. Moses on Horeb, the mountain of God, place he went all the time, passed by a bush that was on fire. And the voice of the Lord spoke to him out. Spoke to him out of the bush. And he was miraculously changed from that day. Abraham, the voice of God spoke to him out of the flames of the fire. Moses, God spoke to him not out of the bush, but out of the flame of the fire. And when the people need a revelation of who God was, Elijah built an altar. It's all right, folks. Poured 12 barrels of water in a ditch. Killed oxen and put them on, just dressed it all up. And said, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. I come to tell you, if you put something on the altar, the fire will come down and consume. I feel like preaching to somebody today. It's an altar of fire. He said, what should I put on the fire? Because we don't do bulls anymore. We don't give goats anymore. We don't give lambs and turtle doves anymore. But there is yet one sacrifice that we need to put on the fire. You need to build an altar. And then you need to crawl up there. Lay yourself down and say, God, here I am, a living sacrifice. Set me on fire. Talk to me out of the fire. Oh, come on, somebody. Talk to me out of the fire. Let me see you in the fire. I'm tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of all of the questions. And if God answers by fire, let him be God. Baal couldn't answer by fire. Allah can't answer by fire. Mohammed can't answer by fire. There's only one God that can answer by fire. And it's because he is a consumer.
consuming.
It's consuming fire. I've got a brother, his name is Edward. And Edward was in the kitchen with us. He had nothing on but what we called in those days a t-shirt. I don't know what they call them today. It's an A-frame, not a wife beater. What I have on tonight is called a wife beater. It's a strapless deal. It's show off your yoke muscles, you know what I'm saying? And Edward reaches across the stove for a pot of mother's home-cooked pinto beans. What he didn't realize is that there was an open eye in front. And when he leaned across to get the beans, his t-shirt caught on fire. Edward, undaunted, meticulously, with premeditated acts, filled his plate. And while the fire was raging and blooming, walked systematically back to the table, sat down at the chair, took his fork, and began to eat the beans. And if you believe that, I got a bridge in the desert I could sell you real cheap. No, when he saw the fire, he dropped the beans. Things that seemed important at that time lost its importance. He started beating at the flame. But what he didn't know, the more he beat, the more oxygen he gave the flame. And he just kept burning more. Then in desperation, he took off running, screaming. We ran after him. He leaped off the porch. We leaped behind him. We finally called him a half a block away and drug him down and rolled and patted him out. I wonder what would happen to us if we really caught on fire. It wouldn't matter how tired you were. It wouldn't matter how mad you were. It wouldn't matter how broke you were. It wouldn't matter how depressed you were. If you were really on fire, you start moving, you start somebody, can you help me? I'm on fire. All God's need. I've never done this before. Fire is a thermomatic chemical reaction. Makes me sound really intelligent. Sorry, Brother Lewis, but I got this out of an encyclopedia off the internet, all right? It's not a sermon. It's just a definition of what fire is. It's a thermal chemical reaction. It requires fuel, oxygen, and heat. The Boy Scout takes two wooden sticks and rub it until it gets a certain degree. And if you keep rubbing those sticks, they'll get warm. And then a spark. And then the little dry leaves in the hole you've dug will begin to catch a faint flame. Then He said, my church is dead. I came to look for some apostolic arsonists who would go back home and deliberately set their church. You see, an arsonist sets things on fire on purpose. He's not playing with it. He's deliberate. He's premeditated. He wants to set fire because he wants to destroy something. If you're tired of dead church and you want to destroy it, go back home and set a fire. You're tired of a dead youth group and you want to destroy the deadness and the dryness, go back home. You may have to rub in that prayer room. It may be one, it may be two. My God, help us. But something's going to catch a spark. And then all you have to do is fan it. Fan it with your praise. Fan it with your worship. Fan it until a flame actually breaks out. And before you know it, the church will be on. Not only did I come to enlist apostolic arsonists, I came also to recruit Pentecostal pyromaniacs. Because an arsonist sets fire to destroy, a pyromaniac sets fire because he likes the flame. He just likes to sit around and watch things burn. He don't care if it destroys. He don't care about insurance money. All he likes is to see the fire burn. You're not going to help me, but I'm going to preach on it now. You need to go about, you need to get the deadest person in the church. Write their name on a prayer list and pray until God sets them on fire. And then just sit there and watch them burn. Any pyromaniacs in the house that just want to set a fire to watch it burn? Burn it up. Burn up apathy. Burn up carnality. Burn up worldliness. But set my soul on. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high, lifted up. Post of the doors was shaken. Smoke everywhere, voices, angels. He said, and when I saw him, my whole world unraveled. He said, woe is me because I'm undone. He was unraveled. Something pulled one little, you know, there are times you have a little thing on your clothes and you think, if I just pull that out, you keep pulling, pulling. The best thing to do is just cut it and burn it. Because if you keep pulling at it, you will unravel the garment. And he said, I am unraveled. I am dumbed. I am speechless. I am stupefied. And he says, I am unclean. And he said, pray thee, if you will, that a seraphim will go to the altar that is smoking with fire. And let him take holy tongs and grab a coal and set them to my lips. Oh, God help us. I'm telling you, folks, we need this fire falling revelation. He said, when that coal touched my lips, watch, my iniquities passed away and my sins were purged because my lips was touched with fire forged from the altar. Cold and indifferent prayer meetings, cold and indifferent altars produce ineffective Christians. And while they are telling us, you don't need to shout like that, you don't need to pray like that, you don't need to dress like that, you don't need to act like that, they are dousing the flame of fire that has kept us alive for thousands of years. And if we have been really born in the fire, we should not want to live in the after smoke or haze of the residue of what God really wants us to do. We need to live in the fire. Praise team. This widow lady comes to God. My deal with her is, I know she wants adversarial relief, but what drives her back and 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 back? Can I tell you, it was more than desperation. I think there was a fire on the inside of her that just would not let her rest. Let me leave you with this. I live in Mercedes, the gateway to Yosemite. We're about 45 minutes to an hour from Yosemite. That's funny because we never go. People come all the way around the world to go there. We live right there and never go. Up until a few years ago, used to have what they call the Fall Fire Festival. It's what they take the giant redwoods that fallen and the dry brush and all the scraplings and all the things that were left over, and they bulldoze them up into a very large pile, very large pile. And then at an appointed time, with people down in the basin, up on top of Half Dome, one of the sheer mountain cliffs, they would deliberately light the fire. And the people at the bottom would scream, "Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall." And the bulldozer then would begin to push very slowly these burning residue of dry trees, pushing, until this fire would begin to tumble and cascade off this granite mountain. I've never seen it, but they say it is a sight to behold, as it looks like a liquid fire waterfall falling from the top of that sheer rock glacier. Of course, now we have environmentalists who stopped that fire. People traveled all around the world one time, and they said, "We're here for the Fall Fire Festival." And they said, "The fire doesn't fall here anymore." I hope to God that that does not become our epitaph. That when the drug addict comes, brother,
Brother Wilbank, when the drug addict comes and said, I heard that the fire falls here. I hope we don't have to say, I'm sorry, but the fire doesn't fall here anymore. I'm tired of spiritual environmentalists who says we don't need all of that anymore. I say, let the fire fall. There's a drug addict that needs the fire to fall. There's an alcoholic, Brother Booker, that needs the fire to fall. What they discovered was that when they ceased to burn and let that fire burn, they ceased that the whole forest diminished by a great percentage point. And new trees did not grow. And so they did a study to find out why weren't the redwoods replenishing themselves. And it was found that the seed that grows the redwoods are so hard that the only thing that breaks them open is the heat and the flame of the fire. And so there were no new redwoods. Maybe there's nobody praying and through in our altars. Maybe there's no new babies in our altars because we have stopped the fire. It takes fire to break the hard shell of sin. It takes fire when a crackhead comes in. It takes fire, fire, fire of the Holy Ghost. That when an old sinner comes in, the seed has got to be broken by the fire and the anointing of Almighty God. I'm done. I want you, if you would, to humor me for one moment and I'm done, I'll walk away. And for three simultaneous chants, with everything in our heart, I simply want us to say, Jesus, let your fire fall. Listen. Nothing's going to burn up the impurity that Brother Booker was talking about today except for the fire of God. It'll burn it out of your mind. It'll burn it out of your heart. It'll burn it out of your soul. It'll It will burn down to the very marrow of your bones. And I'm asking God, set this conference . Are you ready? Excuse me. Hello? Yes. Is this Birmingham Emergency Services? Yes. This is Brother Emery. Huh? No, Emery. No, E-M-O-R-Y. Huh? Yes, I have an emergency to. No, this is a real emergency. No, I know if it's not an emergency, I'm not supposed to call 911. This is a real emergency, ma'am. No, this is not a joke. What?
Well, I know I sound calm, but that doesn't mean there's something going on. There's a fire here. What? Huh? What's all the noise? Oh, I'm in church. I'm sorry. Yeah, I really don't know what I need because, you see, what? No, there's a fire here, lady, you know? Huh? She can't hear me. Wait, excuse me. I'm sorry. Wait a minute.